Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, listeners, it's a wonderful, beautiful Monday morning, alhamdulillah, and we commence this morning with our regular Monday morning focus slot. Now, this morning, we will be continuing with our discussion about being an ideal Muslimah. Today, we'll be focusing on a Muslim woman being gentle and kind towards people, and of course also that a Muslim woman does not make fun of anybody. So these are very simple topics that we talk about, but alhamdulillah, you know, it's something that we as Muslim women should be aware of at all times. That will be followed by our next slot, and this morning, inshallah, we're going to be looking or talking about the role of the mother. Now, it's quite a long discussion, so I'm sure I'm not going to be finishing off this slot today. What I will do is I'll start off today, and inshallah, in our next or the, you know, next slot, inshallah, we'll try and complete this program. I think it's something that so many of us need to be aware of, the role of the Muslim mother, inshallah. So that's what we're going to be discussing in our next slot. And in the slot, we're going to be looking at Islam's respect for the mother. We're going to be also emphasizing on choosing a good wife, and we'll see how important a good mother, the role of a good mother is when, you know, with regards choosing a good wife. We also hope to be talking about respect in this world, respect in the year after, with regards the sanctity of a mother, or the role rather of the mother. And we're going to look at a few ayats with regards you know, the role of the mother, and also inshallah qualities of a mother, what type of qualities a mother should be having. So basically, I think that is as much as we would cover today. If not, then we will continue with this program, inshallah, in another slot. So today we start off with the Monday morning focus slot, and we're looking at the ideal Muslimah. It's a book actually that I'm taking all this information from. It's called The Ideal Muslimah, and it's written by Dr. Muhammad Ali Al-Hashimi, alhamdulillah. Now, we're looking at today, a Muslim woman does not make fun of anybody. Now, sometimes we do have this habit. Sometimes we're doing it so innocently that we don't really think we are doing something wrong. But really, let's listen to this and then decide for ourselves. They say the Muslim woman whose personality has been infused with a sense of humility and resistance to pride and arrogance cannot make fun of anybody. So if we are true Muslims, we would never make fun of anybody, not even in jest. The Quranic guidance, which has instilled those virtues in her, also protects her from scorning or despising other women. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 49, verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, let not some men among you laugh at others. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some women laugh at others. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame, nor be sarcastic to each other. Nor call each other by offensive nicknames. Ill-seeming is a name cannot connoting wickedness to be used of one after he has believed, and those who do not resist are indeed doing wrong. So, you know, sometimes we feel that we can laugh at somebody else or we can make fun of somebody else, but we must always remember that maybe that person is much better than what we are. So, you know, it is so important for us as true Muslims, we would never go in this direction where we, and even if we see somebody, you know, jestfully, jokingly making fun of another person, we need to be very careful that we don't do it. So if we see somebody doing it in a good way, in a nice way, try and stop that person from laughing at another person, and certainly do not join in the fun. The Muslim woman who learns, also learns the attitude of modesty and gentleness from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she avoids being arrogant and scorning or looking down on others when she reads the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as reported by Muslim, stating that despising her fellow Muslim woman is pure evil. So we have no right to be arrogant and to look down on other people. You know, we may think that we are sometimes better than others, but really, many a times, those people that we think we are better than are sometimes much, much more better than what we are. So we need to be so careful. Once again, it is said, it is sufficient evil for a man to despise his Muslim brother. So it's actually evil of us to despise or to look down upon others, when you know, because we should never think that we are better than anybody else. So a true Muslim would never behave in this manner. A true Muslim woman is gentle and kind towards people. So this is what our character should be. We need to be kind, we need to be gentle towards people. And remember, just our way of life, the way we behave in public, the way we behave with other people, behave with our own, this is supposed to be the way we attract people to Islam. So when a non-Muslim looks at a non-Muslim woman, or not a Muslim man for that matter, you know, his ways, his mannerisms, his way of talking, everything he does needs to attract a person to this deen of Islam. So that is so important for us to remember. Now, it is said that it is the nature of women to be gentle and kind. Women are normally known to be gentle and kind, which is more befitting to them, obviously. This is why women are known as the fairer sex. The true, or rather the Muslim woman who has truly been guided by Islam, is even more kind and gentle towards the women around her. So, you know, this is so important, and I think it starts in the home. With your own children, you need to be so kind and so gentle. With the people working, your domestics working with you in your home, you need to be kind and gentle. And you know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves. We sometimes tend to forget these important, characters. What our character should be. We sometimes forget about it. But you know, Allah is most kind and most merciful. The moment we realize that we are doing the wrong thing, we need to ask for maaf and, you know, change our ways. I think it is so important for us to remember this with the people around us, with the women around us, and especially as Muslim women, you know, with the women, with the people working for us and working around us. Because gentleness and kindness are characteristics which Allah, the Exalted, loves in His believing servants, and which make the one who possesses them very, you know, dear to others as well. So if Allah Ta'ala not only loves you when you have these characteristics in you, but even the people around you, when they see what a good person you are, how kind you are, how caring you are, even those people will care and love you. In the Quran, in chapter 41, verses 34 and 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nor can goodness and evil be equal. Repel evil with what is better. Then will he between whom and you was hatred become as if it were friend and intimate. And no one will be granted such goodness except those who exercise patience and self-restraint. None but persons of the greatest good fortune. So if you have any evil in you and you try and you push it out of your life, remember, out of the way you are, you know, try and get rid of it. If you know these are some evil characteristics that I have, and you try and reform yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you even more, because you are trying to get rid of this evil, the evil in you. You are trying to be a better person. Now they say many ayats or many verses and hadith reinforce the message that gentleness and kindness are to be encouraged, and that they are noble virtues that should prevail in the Muslim community and characterize every Muslim member of that community who truly understands the guidance of Islam. It is sufficient for the Muslim woman to know that kindness is one of the attributes of Allah, and He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has encouraged His servants to adopt in all their affairs. Allah is kind and loves kindness in all affairs. So Allah loves those. This is one of Allah ta'ala's attributes: kindness, gentleness, mercy. These are all attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we try to become kind and gentle and caring and loving, then Allah loves us even more. Kindness is a tremendous virtue which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards in a way unlike any other. So kindness, they say, Allah rewards in a way like no other. Allah is kind and He loves kindness, and He rewards it in a way that He does not reward harshness, and a way unlike any other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised kindness, regarding it as an adornment that beautifies and encouraging others to adopt this trait. There is no kindness in a thing, but it makes it beautiful. And there is no absence of kindness in a thing, but it makes it repugnant. So, you know, if a person, if you just look at a kind person, that person don't have to have, you know, outer beauty. But the moment that person has kindness within them, you automatically see beauty in that person. Even if that person has no beauty at all, but because that person is kind, you just see the beauty in that person. And you know, sometimes we always wonder, you know, sometimes many a times you find a couple where the one is absolutely beautiful and the other person is not as beautiful, and you sometimes wonder, oh my, what did that person see in that person? You know, they're like miles apart physically if you look at them. But if you really think of it, and if you actually go and ask that person, why did you choose this person as your spouse? That person will certainly tell you, because of the character of this person. And I see no ugliness in this person. I only see beauty in this person. So yes, that is so important for us to remember. The Prophet ﷺ taught the Muslims to be kind in their dealings with people and to behave in an exemplary manner as befits the Muslim who is calling people to the religion of Allah, the kind and the merciful, no matter how provocative the situation. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, a Bedouin urinated. Now this is a very common example, but a very beautiful example. A Bedouin urinated in the mosque, and the people got up to sort him out. You know, they were so angry. How can this person come into the mosque and urinate in the mosque? But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Leave him and throw a bucket of water over his urine, for you have been raised to be easy on people, not hard on them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just go there and he just get angry with the person too. He told the people around him that, no, throw a bucket of water over there. We have been raised to be kind to people and not to be hard on them. Not to just, you know, go out there. And unfortunately, this is how we normally behave. It's just, I guess, instinctive. If somebody does something wrong, we're just so easy to go there and you know, scream at the person and shout at the person without thinking. You know, maybe that person really didn't know that this is not the way, this is not what we're supposed to do. We don't think that way when something happens. But it is so important for us to first you know, find out what the situation is before reacting to a situation. They say kindness, gentleness, and tolerance, not harshness, aggression, and rebukes, are what open people's hearts to the message of truth. So it is kindness, gentleness, tolerance, but not harshness, aggression, and rebukes. This is what opens the heart to the message of truth. The Prophet ﷺ used to advise the Muslims, be cheerful, not threatening, and make things easy, not difficult. So don't go out of your way to make things difficult for people. Try and make it easy for people. You know, no matter what the situation is, if you can help a person make things easier for them, then Allah loves those. And be cheerful. Don't threaten people all the time. You know, these are some of the things that we as Muslims need to get out of our system. We need to be cheerful. We must not threaten. We must make things easy. We must not make things difficult for people. And we sometimes, unfortunately, have this habit of thinking, I'll fix that person up. I'll make this as difficult as possible for that person. So, you know, that person perhaps, you know, cannot manage eventually and then would give up. Where people are naturally put off by rudeness and harshness, but they are attracted by kindness and gentleness. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Prophet, in the chapter, or rather in the Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 159, where Allah Ta'ala says, were you severe or harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. So, if we look at our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he was harsh and he was severe with his punishment, you know, if people didn't do what he wanted to do, you know, they would never have accepted Islam. Now, because he was so kind, because he was so gentle and he had so much of tolerance in him, people accepted Islam much more easier. Now, this is an eternal declaration that applies to every woman who seeks to call other women to Islam. She has to find a good way to reach their hearts, for which purpose she utilizes every means of kindness, gentleness, and tact at her disposal. So once again, we need to be so tactful. We need to be, you know, extra kind, extra gentle, extra tolerant to attract people to the deen of Islam. Now, if she encounters any hostility or resistance, then no doubt a kind word will reach their hearts and have the desired effect on the hearts of the woman that she addresses. And of course, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather His Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and His brother Harun alayhi salam, when He sent them to the Pharaoh. He said, this is in the Holy Quran, in chapter 20, verses 43 and 44, where He said, go both of you to the Pharaoh, for he has indeed transgressed all bounds. But speak to him mildly, perchance he may take warning of or fear Allah. So go to him, and we know the history of the Pharaoh, we know what kind of person he was, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them and He told them, go both of you to the Pharaoh. We know he has transgressed all bounds, but please speak to him mildly, but just by chance he may take warning or fear of Allah. Not surprisingly, kindness, according to Islam, is all goodness. Whoever attains it has been given all goodness, and whoever has been denied it has been denied of all goodness. We see this in the hadith narrated by Jarir ibn Abdullah, who said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has been denied kindness has been denied all goodness. So if you are not a kind person, and if you cannot get it into your heart to become kind, then you are denied of all goodness. So remember, think this is something we as Muslim women should always think about. The Prophet ﷺ explained that this goodness will be bestowed upon individuals, households, and people when kindness prevails in their lives and is one of their foremost characteristics. We find this again in the hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, in which the Prophet ﷺ told her, "Oh Aisha, be kind, for if Allah wills some good to a household, He guides them to kindness." And according to another report, Rasulullah ﷺ said, "If Allah wills some good to a household, He instills kindness in them." Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If Allah wills some good to a people, He instills kindness in them." So, something for us to think about. What greater goodness can there be than a characteristic that will protect a person from hell? As the Prophet ﷺ once again said in another hadith, "Shall I not tell you who shall be forbidden from the fire, or from whom the fire will be forbidden? It will be forbidden for every gentle, soft-hearted and kind person. It will be forbidden for every gentle, soft-hearted and kind person." Well, the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ take man a step further by instilling in him the attitude of kindness and requiring him to be kind even to the animals he slaughter. And we see this during the time of Qurbani, and obviously every time you slaughter an animal, this is counted as one of the highest levels that the pious and the righteous may reach. Allah has prescribed proficiency in all things. Thus, if you kill, kill well, and if you slaughter, slaughter well. Let each one of you sharpen his blade and let him spare suffering to the animal he slaughters. So when you do the slaughtering of the animal too, you need to be so kind. You need to put the animal in as little pain as possible or distress as possible by using a very sharp blade, so that when you slaughter, the slaughtering takes place very quickly. Kindness to dumb animals that are to be slaughtered is indicative of the kindness of the man who slaughters them and of his mercy towards all living creatures. The more a person understands this and treats all living creatures well, the more kind and gentle a person he is. This is the ultimate goal towards which Islam is guiding the Muslim, so that he is kind even to animals. That says how far our kindness has to go, not only to human beings, but to animals as well. So the true Muslim woman can imagine the understanding of the Islamic teachings and joining kindness upon the sons of Adam, and when it even reaches that of animals. So even animals are included. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us, and may Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. We stop there, inshallah, and we will continue with our program or with the Ideal Muslimah next week, inshallah. Coming up next is the role of the mother. That's our next slot. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we're going to be talking about the role of the mother. This is a beautiful article that I actually found while doing some research in the alislam.org website. It's about the role of the mother. Every society is made up of blocks of family units. The stronger each block is, the stronger the structure of the society. Families are thus the building blocks upon which rests the fate of society. For the development of good families, the mother plays a vital role. Many women today have aspirations of progress in their careers and their degrees in various fields. However, it is indisputable that the most important achievement of a mother is the raising of sensible, virtuous children who will then move on to build other strong blocks for society. It has been said that it is easy to bear children, but it is difficult to raise them well. In that lies the challenge for all mothers. Yes, that's so true. You know, that's such a true saying. It is easy to bear children, but it is difficult to raise them well. We will now look at what Islam says about respect for mothers. Now, a Muslim mother has a valued and a dignified role. We all know that. Her contribution is acknowledged and it is appreciated. Her unparalleled gifts to the child have been aptly described by many, many scholars. And this is just what one has to say by the name of Imam Zainul Abidin in his kitab, or in the kitab Risalatul Huquq, the chapter of rights. This is what he has to say. It is the right of your mother that you should appreciate that she carried you in her womb the way nobody carries anybody. She fed you the fruits of her heart, which nobody feeds anybody. She protected you during pregnancy with her ears, her eyes, hands, legs, hair, limbs. In short, with her whole being. Gladly, cheerfully and carefully, suffering patiently all the worries, the pains, the difficulties and the sorrows, till the hand of Allah removed you from her and brought you into this world. Then she was most happy, feeding you, forgetting her own hunger, clothing you even if she herself had no clothes, giving you milk and water, not caring for her own thirst, keeping you in the shade, even if she had to suffer from the heat of the sun, giving you every comfort with her own hardships, lulling you to sleep while keeping herself awake. However, respected listeners, the foundation of the family is laid with the decision to marry. And the importance of the mother is evident in Islamic teachings, beginning with marriage, conception, and then child rearing. Now, what we're going to do in this program, inshallah, is we're going to look at a few points to illustrate how, or to look at the, we're going to look at the emphasis that Islam puts on the importance of the role of the mother. And yes, we're going to first look at, we mentioned earlier on, the importance, or rather that it be, you know, marriage is where everything begins. So let's look at the emphasis on choosing a good wife. And I think this is so important, because sometimes, you know, we want our children to get married. Our children, when they come to an age where they can get married, you know, look out for beautiful women to get married to, a beautiful spouse, go out. But do they know exactly what they need to look out for? Because, you know, it is so important for us to realize this, that it starts, like they say, at marriage. So the role of the mother actually starts there. And you, as a husband or prospective husband, need to look out, because you are going to be getting married. What comes next is conception, and what comes next is rearing that little child that you have brought into the world. And who is best to do this, to do this? It's none other than the mother. So let's emphasize on choosing a good wife. Islam advocates choosing of a wife based on moral characteristics. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, marry into a decent family. So this is so important, you know, our youngsters out there, when you are looking out for a wife, then these are the points that you need to consider. Don't just get married at face value. You need to look into the background of the person, the family from where this child, this girl comes from. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not me, not anybody else, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, marry into a decent family, for genes have effects. Why? The genes have effect. He is also reported to have encouraged Muslims to marry virtuous women. So look for a pious, and a virtuous woman in order to have virtuous children. He has condemned those who look only for wealth and or beauty when choosing a spouse. So you know, if that is the only reason you are marrying, for beauty, remember, beauty is skin deep. Anything can take away your beauty. Wealth, again, anything can happen. You know, if you think you're marrying, I'm marrying this beautiful rich girl. It doesn't always happen. Please, I don't say don't marry a rich, beautiful girl. But sometimes if that is your only reason for marrying, then that is not the right reason to marry. And if that is the only reason you want to marry, then even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has condemned those who only look for this as their reason. You know, just looking at how wealthy the person is or how beautiful the person is. Because one, we need to remember that beauty can disappear, wealth can disappear. Unfortunately, sometimes you may marry a beautiful, wealthy person, but you may not get the wealth that you really want, because that is hers. Remember, her wealth is hers. It belongs to her. And alhamdulillah, if you have a good relationship with her, she may share her money with you or her wealth with you. Right, so please, what the important thing that one should consider when marrying is to try and marry into a decent family. Our youth out there, please be aware of this. Our parents out there, advise our children as to what to look out for when you are planning to marry a woman from a decent family, and simply because the genes have effect. A virtuous woman, a pious woman, so that she can bring up your children to become virtuous and pious as well. Please do not look for wealth and beauty only. This has been condemned by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, the next point to look at with regards to the sanctity of the mother, or the at least the role that the mother plays, is respect in this world. A mother commands great respect from her family. She is to be obeyed and respected, and Quranic verses which talk about the rights of parents include the mother. However, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has enjoined goodness to the mother even before the father. And a very famous example that is given here is, we all know about it, we all hear it all the time. When a man once came for advice to the Prophet ﷺ as to who he should be good to with regards to his parents. And the Prophet ﷺ then advised him to do good to his mother again. And he mentioned this three times. The man asked him three times, and the Prophet ﷺ told him three times to do good to his mother. And the fourth time, the Prophet ﷺ then told him to be good to his father. Well, as we know, this is a very well-known story, and this clearly illustrates the position of the mother in Islam. Obviously, taking nothing away from the father, but the mother, her position is very great in Islam. A mother should be obeyed and she should be respected. And then we go on to the next very important point. A mother is not only respected in this world, she's also respected in the year after. Now, once again, a very famous hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Jannat lies under the feet of the mother. We hear this all the time, and alhamdulillah, we need to remember this at all times. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she asked why going for jihad was not obligatory on women, and she was also afraid that women were now barred from achieving the great rewards for those who fought and died in the way of the Almighty. Then the Prophet ﷺ gave her this reply, and he explained to her, this is what he said, that a woman was a fighter in Allah's way from the time that she became pregnant up to the time that she delivered, So she is fighting, she is in war, she is in jihad. From the time that she becomes pregnant up to the time that she delivers, from the time she began breastfeeding till the time that she stopped, and if she died during this period, that is the period from pregnancy to delivery, or from breastfeeding to the end of breastfeeding, if she happens to die in that period, then her position would be that of a martyr. Just like you are in war, if you're in jihad, if you're fighting for your deen, you know, if you die in the process, then you become a martyr. The same applies to this as well, to the mother. From the time of pregnancy until delivery, from the time of breastfeeding until when she stops, and if she dies during this period, she becomes, or her position would be that of a martyr. So to raise a virtuous child is one of the greatest good deeds, and this continues to bring reward even after death. So remember, if you have brought up a virtuous child, a pious child, then your reward as a mother continues even after death, because that virtuous child will be the one that will be praying for you even after your death. So as Muslim women, we don't lose out on anything. We should never think that way, as a mother especially. Let's look at what does the Holy Quran say about the role of the mother. But we're going to take a break now. When we return, inshallah, we will continue with this. Please stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We go on to the next part of the program. We're looking at what the Holy Quran says about the role of the mother. Now, in Surah Luqman, chapter 31, verse 14, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we have enjoined men in respect of his parents. His mother bears him with faintings upon faintings, and his weaning takes 2 years, saying, be grateful to me and to both your parents. To me is the eternal coming." And also in chapter Ahqaf, he says in it's verses 46 and 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we have enjoined on men doing of good to his parents. What troubles did his mother bear him, and what troubles did she bring him forth? And the bearing and the weaning of him was 30 months." Now, in both these verses, although both parents are mentioned, the mother is singled out, as she bears a greater responsibility and ultimately a greater reward. The two mothers that are mentioned by name in the Holy Quran, when Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, when she suffered the pangs of childbirth, she wished that she was dead. I mean, this is something that just suddenly happened to her. She was not prepared for this. She's going through labor, which she did not know about, and obviously labor is so painful. And when this was happening, she was actually thinking and wishing that she was dead. And remember that she was all alone, and she was so worried about what was about to happen to her. At that time, Allah consoled her, and he told her not to grieve. She was provided with fresh dates and water. She was also told to fast for 3 days by abstaining from talk. And Allah made the baby talk to prove that he was a miraculous baby. And this all is in chapter 19, verses 23 and 26. You know, a mother is shown concern and consideration for her state. Allah does not abandon her or reprove her by telling her that she is privileged to give to a birth to a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although that was true. Motherhood entails great difficulty, and this is a fact that is recognized by the Holy Quran. And another mother that was mentioned by the Quran is the mother of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. When she was told to put her baby in the river, she was given an assurance that the baby would be returned to her. Allah knows the love, the kind of love that the mother has, and also knows it is so difficult to give away one's child. But you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked her to do this. So when the baby was picked up by Fir'aun's wife, this little baby refused to suck the milk of any foster mother. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam's sister then suggested that they try, well, obviously her mother, unknown to Fir'aun's wife, of course, and to Fir'aun. And in this way, the mother and the baby were united again. And Allah Ta'ala's promise was fulfilled. And this comes in Surah Taha, chapters 37 and 40. Now, these are just a few ways or few examples that are given to us in the Holy Quran that shows us and tells us about the importance of the role of the mother. Well, unfortunately, time is up, but inshallah, I will continue with this program with the all about the role of the mother, inshallah, in one of our other programs soon. So I hope this has inspired some interest to our listeners out there, and I hope you've benefited and enjoyed this part of the program, inshallah. Well, listeners, that's it then. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.